This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hi there. It's me, Laura Wasser, the divorce attorney and the founder of It's Over Easy, the online divorce service. I've been practicing family law for over 20 years, and I've worked on thousands of divorces, shepherding people through what may be one of the most terrifying times in their lives. Along the way, I often have to remind people to lower their expectations. When dealing with matters of the heart, rules simply don't apply, because all's fair in love and war. So welcome to the All's Fair podcast. Fasten your seatbelts and let's go.
Hello all, it's me, Laura Wasser.
And yours truly, Johnny Rains.
As you know from listening to our show on our social channels at It's Over Easy, relationships are evolving in the 21st century, and one of our goals is to change the way people look at their relationships, including the ones that culminate in divorce.
From matters of the heart to friendships like mine and Laura's to our relationship with politics, finances, and even with authority, they're all up for discussion in our private Facebook group, It's Over Easy Community, and right here on All's Fair.
And they also make for good reading, and I love to read.
And apparently, so do millennials, Laura. In a recent study on Statista.com that looks at coronavirus and reading habits, millennials are the most likely group of adults to read while self-isolating, with 40% saying they were more inclined to do so, 7% higher than all adults in total.
That's actually surprising to me, but happily so, actually.
Yeah, it's quite surprising, especially when you think about the literacy rates in the United States.
I know. So you sent me this article from Library Journal, How Serious is America's Literacy Problem by Amy Ray? And
yes.
I was really surprised.
Yeah, it's a blight almost on our society here in the United States. This is part one of an ongoing series that the Library Journal is doing, defining the broad scope and depth of the literacy crisis in the United States among both children and adults.
And look at that map. I mean, some of the states that have the orange, that's like 30% illiteracy, including our state. That's incredible. No wonder we're in this shithole right now.
Well, the article goes on to point out that Florida, New York, and California have the lowest literacy rates in the country. And you're absolutely right. The literacy is absolutely tied with people's health and people's longevity and to poverty. According to the National Center for Educational Statistics, 21% of adults in the United States fall into the illiterate category. That's about 43 million. And nearly two-thirds of fourth graders read below grade level. And the same number graduate from high school still reading below grade level. This puts the United States well behind several other countries in the world, including Japan, all the Scandinavian countries, Canada, the Republic of Korea, and the UK. Way to go, USA.
Well, next to speaking with Johnny and all of you here on All's Fair, reading books with my book club is one of my top five most favorite activities. I know I'm such a nerd, but I'm actually in two different book clubs, and I'm a voracious reader, and I like being able to read and share and discuss things. So many of my favorite things to do this year have had to be adapted a bit because we've been doing my book clubs virtually. And so consider this an invitation to our new virtual book club at All's Fair. And joining the club today, virtually via Zoom, is our first guest who just published the definitive and irreverent guide on how to recover from a shit show, which is what we really need right now. It's the perfect anti-self-help book, which Publishers Weekly calls delightfully unorthodox. She's also the author of two other books, including Offbeat Bride, Create a Wedding That's Authentically You, and she's the creator of the wedding planning site of the same name that challenges you to alter, A-L-T-A-R, your thinking with the web's original Weird Weddings blog. In addition to all that, her work has been featured by dozens of outlets, including the New York Times, HuffPost, and Refinery29. So without further ado, welcome to All's Fair, Ariel Meadow Stallings.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here from Seattle.
All the way.
So Ariel, your website, findyourafterglow.com, you got your start in the mid-90s editing a rave magazine. And you say you're a middle, you don't look middle-aged to me. I don't know. Is it just because it's dark in the clofus? Middle-aged, middle-class white woman and the mom of a son who's 10. Me too, actually. I actually look middle-aged.
You do not at
all. I have a 10-year-old. So how did your divorce teach you everything you needed to know about surviving the shit show that is 2020?
That is 2020. You know, it comes down to a few core things. First off, sometimes life blindsides you. Things you did not expect land on your plate and you have to change everything. And you did not agree to this. You did not plan for this. And yet somehow you can be okay.
So wait, I have a question, Ariel. What's an Enneagram?
Enneagram.
Enneagram.
So
what's
the Enneagram
mean?
Is a kind of pop psychology typology system. So sort of like Myers-Briggs, right, where there's like these different personality types. But the Enneagram, which rose to popularity in the 70s in the U.S., is based kind of around these motivational archetypes, that it's less about the behaviors that you exhibit and more about the motivations internally for those behaviors.
Oh, I was a rhetoric major. And so we would take like rhetoric of like avant-garde poetry or rhetoric of, you know, debate. And so rather than thinking about what the words were, we were thinking about the motivation that whatever the author, painter, poet was trying to convey. Same type of thing, yes?
Yeah, no, the Enneagram is all about understanding that the core motivations are how we ultimately frame our lives. It's all just kind of how we compensate for our fears and the different motivations cause us to act in different ways. It's been really helpful for me in kind of compassion building, both self-compassion and understanding other people.
So what's an Enneatype 3W4 and my own trophy wife? Explain that.
So an Enneagram 3 is a very achievement based person. So I'm definitely a ladder climber and very focused on accomplishment and success, which of course makes a divorce for a wedding industry person all the more of a failure, right? Like, I'm like very ambitious.
Well, yeah, you climbed that ladder and you won.
Oh, I climbed that ladder and then that ladder fell out from underneath me. So that's the Enneagram part. And then the my own trophy wife is, you know, I'm a small business owner, breadwinner. I work really hard so that I can take care of myself and live the life I want to live. So it's funny because when I was first starting to date after my divorce, people were like, I don't understand what's happening here. Because I was like, I'm a small business owner, get out of my way. But also, you know, I really just want to like hang out and buy myself some nice clothes. And so once I was on my own, I had to kind of be both halves of the marriage, both the breadwinner and the trophy wife. So
I like that.
All the things. I'm my own trophy wife.
And it really does give you an opportunity to represent yourself.
Absolutely.
Rather than representing yourself. You're
Absolutely.
Representing yourself to yourself and to whomever you encounter, whether
Absolutely.
It's in business, social, etc. And that's, I think that's one of the coolest things about kind of, you know, not ending a relationship, but evolving out of one kind of a relationship and into new relationships.
Absolutely.
Or the possibilities of new relationships.
Yeah.
So how did your divorce teach you everything you needed to know about surviving the shit show that is 2020?
That is 2020. You know, it comes down to a few core things. first off, sometimes life blindsides you. Things you did not expect land on your plate and you have to change everything. And you did not agree to this. You did not plan for this. And yet somehow you can be okay. So, you know, sort of understanding that blindsiding happens, it helped me. It was a rough lesson 5 years ago, but it's a lesson that when I got blindsided by 2020, I was like, okay.
I can roll with this.
I've done this. I think the second big lesson is that all your foundations can crumble simultaneously, right? Like your financial foundation, your identity foundation, your domestic foundation, right? Like all these things can, it's always a cluster, right? Like it's always a cluster. And again, somehow you can adapt and be resilient. And I learned that in the context of my divorce when it felt like, you know, how could there be another context that falls apart? And yes, there's more and then this and then that. And then when 2020 hit and I was like, oh, now it's a pandemic. Now it's a quarantine. Now it's a long overdue racial justice awakening. Now it's, you know, a heinous election year, right? Like all of these things. All the foundations, you know, now the bottom fell out of my finances. And yet I had learned through the context of my divorce that everything can crumble beneath your feet and somehow you can keep walking. Somehow we're resilient creatures.
Do you believe if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger?
Boy, I hate to say yes. And I don't think that you need to go through terrible suffering to find your sense of resilience and adaptability. But certainly if you go through a period of personal or 2020 cultural collective suffering, humans are very adaptable creatures, and you do learn a sense of strength that you did not have before, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you call your daily devotional practice lap dances for God and say that burlesque lessons are the best therapy. Please explain.
Absolutely. So, I, as part of getting over the trauma of my divorce, I did some burlesque classes here in Seattle at a place called the Academy of Burlesque. And it was interesting because a lot of the aspects of the lesson tied into things I was working on in other parts of my life. So the instructor kept reminding me to stay focused on my breath. And I was like, wait a minute, this sounds very familiar to like...
Your breasts?
My breath.
Someone else was focusing.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and your breath. Okay.
Focus on the breath. And that was something I was working on in my sort of baby meditation practice. So I was like, focus on the breath.
It all ties in.
Right. And then, you know, for anyone who's read that book, The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk, which is all about how trauma lives in the body. Mm-hmm. Moving the body is such a powerful way to get that trauma out in ways that we can't through talk and analysis. And I mean, I love talking and I love analysis, but there were certain aspects of that healing process that I could not do with my brain that moving really helped with. And of course, it helps with rebuilding body autonomy, right? Like this is my body. I'm not sharing it with a partner right now. Rebuilding your self-esteem. And then, you know, neuroplasticity, right? Which as we get older, this ability that our brains have to keep learning things, certainly divorce is a terrible lesson, but it was helpful for me in learning to dance to remember that I can feel stupid and I can learn new skills. And even though I'm in my mid-40s, you know, you can teach an old dog new tricks. And it's not a comfortable experience, but your brain can grow and shift. And that was a really valuable part of that training. And it was also just fun to stick my butt in the air. I mean, that's a form of therapy too.
And there you have it. So, okay. So in just last month, this summer, 2020, you published From Shit Show to Afterglow, Putting Life Back Together When It All Falls Apart. What took 5 years after the divorce, I take it, yes, you wrote this book, or you probably started writing it about 4 years after divorce, probably it actually really started when it was collecting information. What made you decide to share this experience, write this book? I mean, I want to get to the heart of that in our book clubs, because I think it's amazing that people have these revelations and that they're willing to share, because I think they're so helpful.
Yeah, you know, it was two things, really. And the first one was that as a writer, writing this book was just about survival. I mean, that's so much a part of recovering from the grief of divorce, the grief of any big loss is just having a reason to wake up and get out of bed in the morning. And for me, writing was the thing that gave me purpose to some very dark, empty days, especially with I was immediately doing 50-50 custody with my son. So he was gone half the time. So I'd gone from, you know, a wife and a breadwinner and a mother full time to all of a sudden half of my life being this vacuum of empty time and space, especially as someone who's self-employed. I didn't have a boss. I was the boss. Right. So I had to have my own internal purpose to do something. And writing was what helped me get up in the morning. And the other motivation was, you know, as someone who spent almost 15 years in the wedding industry, I wrote a book about my wedding. I then, you know, published this website for almost 15 years, supporting other people in planning their weddings. I did have a measure of, you know, not culpability, but responsibility to my readership. You know, I helped you all get into this. And now as I'm in the process of getting out of it, I know so many of us go through this. I want to be a support to the readers who've been with me. You know, again, not that it was my fault that anybody got married and then got divorced, but but if I supported you on getting into the marriage, then I want to also be accountable for supporting you in the process of healing after the divorce.
I love that. What? So there was also a medical crisis too. There was the triple whammy. Yes.
Yes.
There was the divorce, medical. So what was that? If you don't mind me asking.
Yes. While I was working a 500 person wedding expo in a silver sequin dress, one of my ovaries exploded, which is a thing
that can happen.
Wow.
That sounds really painful.
Yeah. No, it was excruciating pain. And, I thought maybe it was just food poisoning or something, like the worst food poisoning I'd ever had. So I continued to work this wedding.
You didn't want to waste the dress.
Did not want to waste the dress. You know, I had the hair done. I had a full face of makeup. I was like, it's fine. Just grit and make it through. And it wasn't until a few days later that I ended up in the hospital and then emergency surgery. And it was gruesome. I was in the hospital for over a week, a month of relearning how to walk. It was a mess.
How does that happen? Do you know?
I did not know that I had endometriosis, but it can be a symptom of endo is kind of this chronic ovarian thing that then if it gets too bad, it just blows up. So there goes. Ugh. I mean, you know, it was a great metaphor for just like, there went that life.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, again, to our listeners, from shit show to afterglow, putting life back together when it all falls apart. And I really do. I love your way of thinking, Ariel, that you were the captain of the ship in terms of so many of these people getting married, wedding planning, all of that. And then you didn't just leave them, so to speak, but you were like, by the way, this happened to me too. Whether it's your personal experience or not, I want to share it with you. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, and it was really part of Offbeat Bride was supporting people in planning a wedding, not that looked like my wedding, because we're all different people, but supporting them in planning a wedding that was an authentic expression of themselves. And so part of From Shit Show to Afterglow is saying your recovery and healing process may not look anything like mine, but I will model what it looks like to find authentic healing, mind, body, spirit, you know, kind of the usual stuff, and support in the same way I supported and cheerled people through planning their authentic weddings. I can support and cheerlead people through having an authentic embodied recovery process, recovering from whether it's a divorce or the shit show of 2020. I mean, we're all in it now.
I think sometimes I have found specifically over the past 5 or 6 months that just knowing there's other people out there that are also going through it is incredibly helpful. In the world of divorce, it can be very isolating. And as we've seen thus far in 2020, this pandemic has been very isolating.
Absolutely.
And so just knowing there's others out there going through it too, whether they're experiencing the same way you are or not, you don't need to be a spirit guide. You just need to be an example and create a community.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's the lie that depression and suffering tells us is that we're alone and we're the only person who's ever felt this bad. When the reality is when you really feel bad, that's like when we're all united in the like shit show
we're in
of
this
human
together.
Suffering. Totally.
Yes. I've said that to many people over the past 5 months. This pandemic isn't just happening to you, believe it or not.
Yeah.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
I'm Laura Wasser, and this is the All's Fair podcast. On today's show, we're flipping through the pages of some of my favorite reads this month, including From Shit Show to Afterglow, Putting Life Back Together When It All Falls Apart, the perfect anti-self-help book about recovering after a shit show by Ariel Meadow Stallings. I also want to recommend White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo, Rodham by Curtis Sittenfeld, which is like this awesome kind of sliding doors account of what would have happened if Hillary Rodham Clinton had gone in a different direction. American Dirt by Janine Cummings, which was awesome. Long Pedal of the Sea by Isabel Allende. If you like Allende, you will love this one. Sex and Vanity by Kevin Kwan. Kevin Kwan is the author who wrote Crazy Rich Asians and others of that ilk, but it all takes place on Capri in Italy, which is where I should be right now instead of in my living room. So that was a nice little escape. And of course, What Makes a Marriage Last by Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue, who have been guests on the All's Fair podcast and interviewed about 40 couples who had been in long-term marriages, all different ages, races, sexual orientations, really interesting relationship material and guidance. That's from Laura's book club. Next, I want to introduce you to another author who describes himself as a father who had an epiphany. He's written a how-to guide for dads to remain active and relevant in their kids' lives after divorce. All the way from Louisville, Kentucky, virtually via Zoom, welcome to All's Fair, Steve Adams.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Of course. I love the book. I know that you live in Louisville with your dog, Jack. By the way, my son's name is Jack. And as much as possible with your kids, Rachel and Carter. Rachel's a nursing student at Western Kentucky University, and Carter is a high school student in Louisville. And when you're not doing your full-time job, you're a real estate agent,
right? That's right. So I do the real estate. No, really. It's but since, you know, since we started talking a little bit when I was talking to Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, good to see you.
Rachel has graduated. Oh. And she is an RN with Norton Healthcare here in Louisville. So that's one that's kind of out of the nest. She was a senior when we first started talking, but she has finished up and she's kind of she's adulting now. She's finding out very quickly things change.
Well, yes, especially during a pandemic, being an RN. Wow. Brave soul.
Yeah.
So I love that you did a Divorce Dad's Guide to Parenting Excellence, because I, throughout my 26-year career as a family law attorney, have represented probably, believe it or not, more dads than moms. And I am a very big proponent of dads' rights. We've had a lot of dads on the show. We've had a lot of advocates for male and father's rights. I truly do believe that a dad can be just as good of a parent as a mom, if not better in some instances, and that even from birth, even if you're breastfeeding, we have a lot of moms that say, well, I'm breastfeeding, so I couldn't possibly share custody. I have had judges say, pump.
Yeah.
And hand them off, and you can do this. And I think it's important for bonding, and I think it's important for kids. But I have found, and this is why I thought your book was so awesome, that a lot of times dads fight for custody, get custody, and then will call me and say, don't ever tell anyone we had this conversation, but now that I have them, I'm not exactly sure what to do with them. And again, it's not the diapering or bathing or putting to bed. It's during the day. A lot of these mommy and me groups are just that. They're mommy and me groups. And so dads sometimes don't know exactly where to go, what to do. That's not necessarily how we were all raised, as if we're boys, to know the cookie baking and the art projects and all that. So there is kind of a readjustment. So I love that there's this book. Tell us a little bit about what your motivation for it was and what it's about.
Well, first, let me say again, I really appreciate you having me on the show. And it truly was an epiphany when I started writing this book. You know, the dialogue, I've had so many people that have said, you know what, Steve, that's kind of tough love, you know, when you read some of the content in there. But you just hit the nail on the head. There's so many dads that will fight. The irony to it is they don't think anything else is going to change in their life. You know, the happy hours and the network functions and the breakfast meetings and all those things. Oh, it can't be that difficult, Steve. It can't be that hard. I couldn't tell you how many people tried to play the Monday morning quarterback. Well, I wouldn't take that if I were you. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. And now they're kind of, you know, coming to see me or talking or calling with, you know, kind of their head tucked between their legs saying, wow, because it was a huge adjustment. If you think nothing is going to change, you're so off base. It's unbelievable. It is truly the biggest life-changing experience, including, and I say this respectfully, the loss of my father. The year that I divorced, my father died as well. Mm. You know, and it's tough. You know, it's a tough time because your kids, you know, you're breaking up a family and then you're losing a family member. And, you know, it's difficult.
Absolutely. And as we spoke about with Ariel before, if you can get through this, you have a different kind of strength and realization about yourself, but also about parenting.
Yeah.
But I do. I think a lot of dads don't necessarily realize it. And a lot of dads somehow think once they've got their custodial time, mom's still going to be there to fill in if they do have that breakfast meeting or golf game. And they say, well, this is for work and I'm the breadwinner. And you have, she says, no, babe, we're not married anymore. I don't work for you.
That is so spot on. Obviously, you've been doing this for so many years because I've had guys they'll call and vent and they'll say, can you believe that I called and just asked her to do this or do that or do this? And I'm like, whoa. You know, you fought for a year to get what you've got. And now you want to kind of go back on what you agreed to, you know, to do. So it's looking back now. I mean, you know, the ex and I are fine with each other. We're very civil. The kids are doing great. But I mean, it's been a decade as well.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But you have definitely paved the road, I think, for other dads who are now seeing this and going, oh, I get it. Or I read Steve's book and now I get what he's saying. So I'm not going to be that kind of jerky guy that calls on her. But maybe I'll say, hey, do we know a neighbor or is there a babysitter that maybe I can call on and ask if I could get some help here? so important to kind of be a united front. So not to shirk responsibility, but you are in this together.
Make
and
it work.
You do need to figure out a way to help each other out. And maybe sometimes you call and say, look, I know this is not your obligation, but do you think maybe you could take them on Tuesday because I've got this thing and I'll make it up next week with something else for you? That's how I am with my two exes. They're super great. And I lost a parent last year as well, which was devastating. Yeah. And I will say, both of the fathers of my two boys were so there for me because, and this is what I really try on this show and in my practice to get through to people, we're a family. We don't live together anymore. We don't sleep together anymore, but we are a family.
Totally.
And we have a common interest, which is our children and making sure everybody's healthy and sane. And especially now during this pandemic,
oh,
with so many parents going, I don't want them at your house. Your girlfriend's a skank. She's probably got the coronavirus. I don't want them going over there. Or they shouldn't be at your house because now we're doing online schooling and they need to be somewhere that's quiet and it's too loud at your house. Or I can't afford to pay you support anymore. We agreed to it, but I'm not making any money. All of these things coming up, if you're in it together and you can work through it, you save yourself time and aggravation and fees.
Yes.
I mean, it really makes so much sense, but it's much easier said than done. I do get that.
But civility is everything.
Yes. So what are the key principles for parenting covered in Now What?
Well, we have about eight, and I tried to, you know, it's funny because a lot of the principles in this, they all hover around social media. I think that, you know, that we, a little bit of how, you know, when we started this project a couple of years ago, you know, I was telling a guy that kind of helped me out here in Louisville, I said, we need to make this current. You know, we want a short read because people's attention span is kind of short today as if our, you know, not the War and Peace books and things like that. So a short book that they can pass along, it's a hardbound. Priorities, you know, where your priorities lie, you know, as a father. Is it the happy hour? Is it the closing the next sale? Is it the business networking meeting? Or is it making sure your son or daughter is up having breakfast? You know, and you know, there's going to be times that you have to say no. You know, where do your priorities lie? And the reality of it is, you know, as a father, I had to ask myself, how do you want to be remembered? As the chronic workaholic, or can you find that median, that balance? And balance happens to be another one of the principles that we used. Success. You know, the definition of success for me has changed at 50 than it was at 20 when I came out of college. Chasing the dollar. And, you know, for so many years, I was on the corporate side for 22 years and traveling and in hotels and work, searching for success. But then when I, you know, was confronted with divorce, success was right in front of me, my children.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just didn't see it. I had my blinders on. I was chasing the dollar, just work and gone. And that's why that I got the rights to Cats in the Cradle in the front of the book. And I had to call the label and get that because it is the epitome
Spot
of
on.
Most men in corporate America. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's and then there is a structure, making sure that back to your initial point, you fought for them, you got them, but if it's havoc all the time, is it really of their best interest? And the answer is no. I mean, things are changing. My life changed more than you can even fathom when I took this on to do it the right way. I'm not the expert. I'm not the marriage counselor, the social worker, the psychiatrist, or any of the above. It was trial and error. I've got the PhD in hard knocks and a lot of just scratching my head and saying, oh, my God, I had no idea. Bit my tongue a lot, sucked up my pride a lot, avoid the venting on the social media platforms. You know, that's... You know, when I read some of the things that people have the gall to put out there on these platforms and their kids' teachers and the counselors and other parents and neighbors, they all see it. You know, they all see it. And once it's out there, it's not going to go away. And it's just it's something you have to refrain from doing. And it's hard. It sucks. You know, you just have a conversation with your ex and you're like, OK, I'll show her and just really, you know, bash out a couple of paragraphs there just to get that social validation. You know, the likes, the comments, this, that, I'm, you know, my prayers are with you, or I wouldn't put up with that. It's the same, you know, it's the same things, the same comments that people, you know, want. They want that validation.
Right. That's why I think it's so important to have a sense of community, like we were talking about before, not necessarily out in the ether with people that you don't know, but a sense of community. When I probably 10, 15 years ago now, I had a group of, I mean, it just happened that I had like five dads, and they all had kids that were, I think, preschool age. So they were probably in their two, threes, four. So dads fought for custody. We got them custody. California is very kind of pro 50-50 equal time if possible. And so these guys all had their custody, but then they were really having a hard time figuring out what to do with their kids when they weren't in that four-hour-a-day preschool program or whatever. And so I put them all together. I just said, I asked them if they were interested, put them on a group email. And the interesting thing is that to this day, these guys, their kids are now either in high school or college. They still keep in touch.
Oh, wow.
Now they actually are going to happy hour together because they don't have to be with their kids at the park. But they said one of the most beneficial things, not just having to go, being able to go to the park and not sit next to like a nanny or a mom, but they actually were with a dude so they could talk about the game the night before while watching their kids, but that they were able to commiserate. And they were able to commiserate in a safe space where they said, that bitch, can you believe her, whatever, but it didn't go to social media. It never left the group. You know, they said, well, you know, misery loves company. You think that's bad? Look what she did to me. Yeah. And then it was out. They
vented
and they were priceless.
Past it. But that method is priceless. I mean, that's the way to do it. And it's, you know, I never claimed to have the remedy to all these things, you know, through the process. But you're exactly right. I mean, obviously, you're an attorney and you've been doing this for many, many years. But to find another outlet that really does not exploit the situation to millions of people out there, you know, it's really, you know, it's certainly going to drive a wedge between you and your kids.
Yeah.
Because your kids get defensive of that.
How do kids spell love? That's one of the things that's touched on in the book.
Time. That's a Zig Ziglar quote. It's one of my favorites, you know, and it also kind of trickles down to spending that time with kids, because if you're not spending that time with those kids, someone's going to, they're going to gravitate to something or someone.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are your rules, or what are the tips you can give us and the listeners about helping your kids navigate social media?
Well, you know, any time that, especially with everything going on, it really works to my favor, even as they've gotten older. You know, I don't wish for the pandemic, but, you know, when there's things like that happen, you can see the violence and you can see the anger and the hate that's out there. And we'll sit down and watch the videos and I try to explain to them, look at this, you know, look at this. There's so many people that are just posting things. They need the attention. There's some narcissistic tendencies there of people that just look at me, look at me, look at me. And, you know, the media is guilty of it. People are guilty of it. They need these platforms. They feed off these platforms. And I try to show the positive. You know, I send both kids jokes and I'll tag them on funny pictures of kids. And, you know, they're both dog lovers. We've always had dogs, you know, and try to show the positive. I text them in the mornings and say, hey, have a great day and be kind. You know, tell someone something, say something nice, hold a door for someone and just try to instill those. But you have to stay consistent, because if you don't stay consistent, you're going to send mixed signals. One day you're pissed off and you're yelling at them, and the next day you're saying, have a great day, be kind. Well, you know, so when you send those mixed signals, it's very difficult, you know, for the kids not to scratch their head and say, yeah, Dad, but yesterday you were just being an ass, you know.
How old's Carter now?
Carter is 17.
So he's going into his senior year?
It's virtual right now, but this is it.
Okay. And now my mom, when my brother and I were growing up, would put notes in our lunchbox, which at a certain age, I was like, please, enough with the notes. It was so embarrassing. But when I was a kid, you know, midday, you open the lunch and there's a note from mom.
I did that
with my kids.
Yeah.
And when they were really little, it's what helped them learn to read. Let's bring Ariel. Will you unmute yourself? And I think you can see her on your screen there, Steve. So this is Ariel.
Hey, Ariel.
And she's a divorced mom, too. She's got a 10-year-old son.
Yeah.
So Johnny and I talked a little bit at the top of the show about some of the shocking statistics regarding kids and literacy in the U.S. You guys are both authors. You're both parents. What advice can you share with other parents to encourage, again, their elementary school kids or, Steve, in your case, their teens? How do you encourage them to read more? And I don't just mean the Instagram or the Snapchat little captions.
Anything
I mean, actually
but that.
Opening
right.
a book. Yeah.
Sure. Ariel?
Yeah, you know, I still read with my son, even though he's turning 11 in a few months and, you know, is totally happy to read chapter books on his own. We still choose books to read together. in part because it gives us opportunities to have conversations. It gives us opportunities to talk over vocabulary words that I know he's learning in context that I'm like, oh, hey, you know, that's a big 5-syllable word. Do you know that one? Let's talk about it. So even though he's old enough to read alone, we still read a little together. We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Steve? Is Carter reading? My teenager is not reading very much at all, and there's not much I can do about it. I can put the books there. He's not interested. My 10-year-old actually reads.
Well, you know, it's funny. Carter and I have had conversations, and I know he's, well, I hope that he's kidding, that he's, you know, he talks about being a YouTube sensation, but he just does that to pull my string. You know, I'll subscribe to magazines, you know, ESPN Magazine, and Rachel, when she was younger, my mom would give her cookbooks. Uh-huh. And she would just flip through the cookbooks and she started, you know, and some of her Christmas was new crock pot and all, you know, the new air right. stuff and all the, you know, the Keurig and things kind of that she needed. So I kind of took that backdoor approach with not necessarily a lot of books. And then, you know, I gave her some of my Peter Montoya, The Brand Called You, and some books that I've had, you know, just talks about motivation and self-worth and just, you know, self-improvement and things like that. And she'll read them for a while and, you know, and then she'll sit them down. But, you know, I watch because then I'll see it folded open on her bed, you know, before she moved out. So I know she's back in there again. And I'm like, progress. Carter likes the magazines. He likes reading articles online. He likes doing, you know, watch sports blogs and things like that. I try to keep him off that. So a lot of times, to answer your question, I'll stop at a bookstore and pick up something off clearance racks at Books A Million or somewhere and just grab a sports book on the Lakers or the Bulls back in the 90s or something like that. And the nostalgia of it really attracts him. He looks at and he's like, oh my gosh, look how short their shorts were back then. but you know what? It gets his interest and it keeps him off of the Instagram and the Twitter sure. and the Facebook. So to me, even though it's baby steps, it's certainly progress.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, and it's created really, hopefully, lifelong habits. Rachel is more of a reader now. She's out of the two. I always said she's the very studious one, and I, you know, I laugh, but it's funny. Carter may be the one that's pumping the keg on campus with his hat on backwards, telling the jokes. But the jury's still out on that. We'll see.
Yeah, I think like somewhere. So many things with parenting, it's about modeling, right? We can hand them books all we want, but until they walk into the living room and we're sitting there curled around our own book.
And I do, and I'm a reader, and I think you certainly have to read, you know, lead by example. And I know that phrase has been around forever, but I'm a big reader, just tons and tons of business journals and business books and motivation and all the Ziegler stuff years ago and sales and things like that. So, you know, I think you certainly had to lead by example because their rebuttal is, well, Dad, you don't read.
You don't do it.
Yeah,
right.
You don't do
You're
it.
You're on social media.
Why are you pushing this on me?
Do your kids read your books, Ariel and Steve? Yeah.
The ones they wrote?
Like, I mean, I know your son's young, Ariel, for example, but he must know that he's referenced in your book, right?
Yes. So has he read it? And the new book is dedicated to him. So he finds my books boring because it's nonfiction. And he's very clear that he's a fiction guy. So he's like, yeah, you know, I tell my friends that my mom's a writer, but she writes boring books because it's nonfiction. And I'm like, well, that's okay. And my books also aren't super age appropriate for him right. at this point. So I have actually in the acknowledgments in the back, like, you know, eternal gratitude to my son who will read this book someday and be like, oh God, mom. So, I mean, he knows his mom's a weirdo, so it's not like he's going to be shocked.
But that's typical. I mean, that
at this point, he finds my writing boring because it's nonfiction.
How about you, Steve?
Yeah. Rachel's read the book and I think Carter kind of flipped through it, you know, when it released last year. And, I'm not so sure that he would fess up and say that he read it anyway. They are just, those two kids are so different. She read it and I think she's passed it along, but it's interesting because, you know, I'll do some branding on social media and Instagram. And I started seeing an influx of Western Kentucky students before Rachel graduated that were, you know, coming on board and, you know, and following some of my stuff. And I'm thinking, so, you know, and they're all, she runs around a very good group of kids that very academically sound. And I think Carter's kind of flipped through it and looked at some of the illustrations maybe and read the you know, the acknowledgments and that kind of thing, but that's okay. I mean, he's getting to the age now where the last year or so I've really experienced significant changes in him in terms of maturity.
Right. So do either of you watch any of the legal dramas, The Good Fight or The New Perry Mason or anything that's streaming now? Like, anybody like legal shows?
I'm totally sucked into Love on the Spectrum right now, which is definitely not a legal show.
Anything but.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right. Well, in any event, what's coming up next is something you'll never see on one of those shows anyway, but you'll hear them here. This is something we do in the family law realm called discovery, and it's we call them the interrogatory. So do each swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Which relationship in your life has had the most profound impact?
Just relationship in general?
Yeah, it could be a teacher, kids, parent.
It's kids. It's kids, because I know without question it's kids. And I've thought about this because, you know, reading through some of the things. And, you know, in the corporate world, as you know, if you're willing to pay the price, and that price is travel, and they own you, and you just work relentless, and, you know, you're living in airports and hotels, and I did that. And without question, I would have found that success, you know, I was pushing for and stayed on that path. And I did by most people's standards. I've been very blessed beyond, and all that is great in theory, but it without question, it's the biggest life-changing experience. They've had the biggest impact, and they have shown me that there's so much more out there. It really reeled me back into where I needed to be, and every time I speak now, it always includes, how do you want to be remembered? I mean, what do you want your legacy to be? And I know that sounds kind of hokey, and a lot of people use that tagline and things, but it's so true with kids. You know, do you want to be known as, oh my gosh, you know, that guy worked his ass off 7 days a week, or I've never met a better father, a more committed father that made the difference in these kids' lives. And there's no comparison to me at this point in my life. Now at 20, I'd say, I got a plane to catch.
Right.
At 50, it's different.
Ariel, what's your favorite love song?
Oh, you know, I'm going to say Rihanna's Sex With Me is amazing.
You know, I bet you that's Steve's too. Am I wrong, Steve? Just kidding.
It wasn't, but it is now. No.
All right, so I think I know Steve's answer to this question. Ariel, what's the one piece of advice you'd share with your 20-something-year-old self?
You know, it's cliche, but it really has proven to be true that the journey is the destination. I think as someone who's very ambitious and a business owner, I've always been, and Steve can probably relate to this, I've always been very focused on my results and my ROI and what's the outcome, show me the bottom line. And as I've moved into midlife, I've realized, oh, there's no there. And actually the journey of how you get where you're going is as important, if not more important, than where you actually end up. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Steve, do you know what a rom-com is?
Romantic comedy.
What's your favorite romantic comedy? What could you watch over and over again?
I was trying to think of the name of it earlier. It's, I don't know. I had a song. I had a song on here that was my favorite song.
What's your song? What's your song?
This song's amazing to me, and it's by Van Morrison.
Okay.
I'll be your lover too. Now that goes back a little bit. That does.
I'm older than you, so I feel you. I know that Van Morrison song. I also know the Rihanna song. Ariel, which rom-com could you watch on repeat?
Oh, you know, does Booksmart count as a rom-com?
Yes.
It's sort of like a lady bromance, right?
Yes.
That film captured like the joy of female friendship for me in ways that I'd never seen captured on screen before.
They were amazing. By the way, which relationship in your life has had the most profound impact?
You know, I have to say my son, because even in the moments that are extremely frustrating, I learn more about myself in those frustrations because, oh my God, she who smelt it dealt it. And my son is a little manager and a little bossy boss. And I have these moments where it's like looking into a funhouse mirror. And I'm very aware that I'm raising, you know, the future of, you know, I'm raising someone's future spouse. I'm raising someone's future manager. And we spend a lot of time talking about empathetic management techniques.
That's a great point. That really is, because you really are. We're passing the baton, and it's tougher and tougher each generation. I know it's all relative, but I mean, I would argue that for days in terms of adversity, and you see the current affairs, and you know, I think now more than ever, you have to continue to stay involved and talk to them and not be in a state of denial and not say, well, this doesn't apply to us. It certainly does. It's relevant every single day that you instill this and say, hey, be kind. You know, be kind. Mm-hmm. This is not how the entire world is meant to be. It's not how everyone is. Surround yourself around good people, successful people. See how they got that way, and model, mimic those things, those traits.
Totally. Ariel Meadows-Stalling and Steve Adams, thank you so much for joining us today on All's Fair. We are honored to have had you. Ariel, please tell everyone where we can find you online and snap up a copy of your books, including the latest From Shit Show to Afterglow.
Yeah, I am at Find Your Afterglow on both Instagram and Facebook. And then you can find me on my website, where I have a membership program for the really good stuff, over at findyourafterglow.com.
And the Offbeat Empire, tell us about that too.
Oh yeah, the Offbeat Empire is the umbrella company for all my publishing work. So that includes offbeatbride.com, that includes offbeathome.com, and then this new venture with findyourafterglow.com.
And Steve Adams, tell us where we can find you online and where dads and moms, because I think moms benefit too, can find your Divorced Dad's Guide to Parenting Excellence. Now what?
Sure. Instagram is SteveAdams933. Twitter is at SteveAdams933. Facebook is Steve Adams. The book is on Amazon. It's in Audible. A local guy, Barry Burnson, done a phenomenal job on the Audible version of it. And then the local publisher is Carol Butler here in Louisville, butlerbooks.com.
Perfect. Thank you both so much. This was great, great conversations. Folks, listeners, get those books, check them out, join our community, be part of this. Thank you both very, very much. Ariel Meadows-Stalling's book, From Shit Show to Afterglow, Putting Life Back Together After It Falls Apart. Steve Adams' book, Now What? A Divorced Dad's Guide to Parenting Excellence. Both fantastic reads, both part of our community. And I don't know, I kind of thought it was so cool to have somebody from Washington State and somebody from Kentucky, and we're here in California. We all can read, which is good, given what we learned this morning about literacy. I'm Laura Wasser. I'm an attorney, and I'm the CEO of the online divorce service It's Over Easy. You know I'm into Next Chapters, and I'd love to hear what you think we should read next. You can drop me messages on social at It's Over Easy, and you're invited to join my private Facebook group at It's Over Easy Community. We are talking about relationships and the evolution of dissolution.
Leave us a review at iTunes and share us with your friends.
That's our show. All's fair. Thank you for listening. Now go read a fucking book.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.